Let me just read a few verses from the Bible. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God highly exalted him and has given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. For those of you who are familiar with Belvedere Road Church as a building, you will know that we don't normally have the front laid out quite the way it is at the moment. Perhaps some of you thought when you saw all the chairs, oh, they've started a choir. You'd be glad, probably, to know we haven't. Ordinarily, when we have a baptismal service, we'd be using a much bigger pool than that one, which is behind the wood there, just where it says Christ is risen. There's a pool back there. And we would normally use that for our baptisms. But we have an issue with some stonework on the outside of the building, way up in the roof at the back there, which is loose. And it's right above the baptistry. And we've been advised to steer clear. I walked into the vestry this evening and someone very humorously has put a hard hat on the windowsill. But I'm not going near it. Who'd risk it? Who would risk it? Who would risk their life? Would you risk your life for anything? Would you risk your life for anyone? Some perhaps would. Some perhaps take a risk. But they'll often do as much as they can to eliminate those risks. They'll do as much as they can to reduce those risks. They'll do as much as they can to control those risks. But you'll find plenty of people who are willing to take a risk. Who would willingly put themselves in a position when they know it actually isn't just a risk? It's more than a risk. Something certain is going to happen. Because we might all be willing to take a chance. But would you put yourself in a position where you know for certain it will cost you your life? Well, that's a slightly different proposition. Taking a risk is one thing. Knowing for certain that the outcome is death. Well, that's a slightly different story. Jesus came not to do something that was just a bit risky. Jesus came to do something which would end in a certain and horrific death. It says in the Bible that he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death. Now, you can't become obedient to the point of death unless you know it's coming. You can't be obedient to the point of death unless you know it's a fact. He was obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross, which in any culture and in any generation is a horrific, shameful, awful way to die. The Bible says that God has demonstrated to us his love. I find there's quite a lot of people in the world who wonder how we can talk about a God who loves. They look around at the world, they see all the problems, all the issues, all the suffering, all the pain, all the grief, and they wonder about this God of love that we speak of. But the Bible says that God has demonstrated his own love toward us, because while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He knew it was going to happen. He spoke of it to his disciples on quite a number of occasions, although at the time they really didn't understand what he was saying. But he knew it was coming. He knew it was a certainty. And still he continued. Why would someone do that? Why did he need to die in that way? Sure, God loves us. But couldn't God have found a nicer way to demonstrate his love? Christmas is coming up soon. And many of you will be looking to buy gifts for people to demonstrate your love for them. And you'll be looking to find nice ways, pleasant ways, exciting ways to demonstrate your love. Why couldn't God have chosen something nice and pleasant? Why death? Why the cross? Why did Jesus give himself? The Bible says he gave himself for us. Why did he do that? The Bible says it's all about a thing called sin. It was interesting. On Friday, through the late morning and early afternoon, two men arrived with a van and a trailer. And this thing was on the back of the trailer. And they turned it on its side, wheeled it in, rolled it through like a huge donut. Thankfully, we've got our measurements right and it fitted through the doors. We've never used one of these in Belvedere before. There probably aren't many churches that have hot tubs installed. Quite a few people wish we'd had one a long time ago and would like this one to stay, but it won't be staying. But there was a man once who wanted to be baptized, as these four do, and he was riding in a chariot along a road, and there was a man with him who was able and qualified to baptize him. And it says that they just saw some water. We're not told what type of water it was. Was it a river? Was it a stream? Was it a lake? We don't know. But they said, there's water here. Is this good enough to be baptized in? And Philip said, absolutely. And he was baptized. And we'll talk a little more briefly about baptism as we just before we baptize them. But we've got this pool that we've had installed with our own baptistry being out the way. And it was interesting because they started filling the water. And once it got to about 6 inches, I've got to come over here to get it. The man who was installing it threw this in the water. And it's been floating around ever since. Oh, it's nice and warm. That's good. Nice and warm. Boys and girls, anyone like to hazard a guess what this is? It's been floating around since Friday afternoon. Nathan? Is it a cleaning thing? Thomas, what would you have thought? Sorry? Can't hear you, Sandra. A filter. Oh, you're both very close. Nathan's slightly closer. I thought maybe it was an inflatable life jacket or something, but no. It is. It's part of the cleaning system. There's two things in this pool that clean it. There's a little box thing over there, and you lift the lid off, and there's a filter in there. There is a filter. This, not this, but there's a filter in there. And this has got slow-release chemicals in. And you see, what happens is the filter, well, that deals with all the dirt you can see. And the chemicals, well, that's dealing with all the dirt you can't see. And you see, the Bible says that we're all full of dirt in God's eyes. Some of it is dirt that you can see. Some of it is dirt that's all too obvious. Some of it is dirt that you can't see. Well, at least your best friend can't. Your mum and dad have never seen it. Your children, your husband or your wife, they've never seen it. But it's there. There is one who sees it. God sees it. Sometimes it's the dirt that you can't see that's the worst of all, because it's gnawing away on the inside. And our hearts are full of it. And our minds are overflowing with it. No one knows except God. Why did Jesus die? He came to get rid of the dirt and the filth of sin in our lives. And the great thing is, Jesus deals with the dirt that you can see, and he deals with the dirt that only God sees. He cleans the lot. He cleans it all. In the Bible it says, in him, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, we have redemption. That word redemption means that the Lord Jesus Christ has paid a price for our sins. And he's paid it with his own life. He died on the cross. He broke his body. And he shed his blood. Why? For the forgiveness of sins, simply according to the riches of his grace. Simply because of his grace and his love. So that we could have our sins forgiven, all of them. The sins you can see, and even the sins that no one sees but God. And the Bible says that if we confess our sins, that's the starting point. We have to agree with the Bible that we have this dirt of sin in our life. We rebel against God. We reject God. We ignore and disobey his word. We live our lives as if he wasn't there. We live our lives primarily for ourselves. And we kick the dirt in God's face. Every time we do any of those things, reject him, rebel against him, disobey him, just ignore him and pretend he doesn't even exist. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's why Jesus died, to bring cleansing for guilty, filthy sinners in his sight. All the sins that you have in your life that are obvious. All the sins that you have in your life that no one else knows about. You can bring them all to Christ. Confess them before him. Repent of them. That means to turn away from your sin and turn to Christ. Realize this is the man who is perfect and who died in my place. I'm the sinner. I should be the one dying. But he's died for me, my substitute on the cross. And I trust in him, trust in his death, trust in his resurrection, because he rose again from the dead. The Apostle John, at the beginning of the very last book in the Bible, the book of Revelation, says, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Christ has come to wash us clean from all of our sins. One final question. What does that mean for me? What does that mean for you? Well, some of you will know that the issue that we've got with stonework at the back of the church behind me that stopped us using the baptistry, actually, we've got lots of problems with the stonework all around the building, to the extent where we've decided we just can't afford to carry on patching it up anymore. So we're hoping to sell it to someone else and leave them with the headache. This building can be repaired. It can be patched up. It's going to cost someone a fortune to do it, but it can be. It can be made usable. But it will only deteriorate again over time. I can just imagine someone in another 160 years walking around the outside of the building, thinking to themselves, here we go again. It'll happen. It can be repaired up to a point, but it can't be made completely new. And it cannot be kept pristine forever. But the Bible says that when Christ washes you clean, when God in his sovereign power forgives you through Christ of all of your sins, a most remarkable transformation occurs. On the day that you turn from your sin, and on the day that you confess it and repent of it and trust in Christ, the Bible says, if anyone is in Christ, that's what that phrase means, he is a new creation. He doesn't just patch you up and make the best of a bad job. He makes you a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. He makes you new in Christ. He gives you a new nature. Talks in the Old Testament about taking away a heart of stone and in its place putting a heart of flesh. A new life. That's what it means to trust in Christ. That's what our four friends have experienced, this newness of life in Christ. Paul says to the Romans, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life, new life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Forgiven, set free, no longer under the management of sin. Now, we still struggle with sin, but we're no longer under its management. It no longer dominates our life like once it did. Now Christ dominates our life like he never did before. Forgiven, washed and cleansed, and we have a new life to live in Christ. It's not always an easy life. Sometimes it can be a very hard life. But it's a wonderful life. We want to recommend it to you. That's why our four friends want to be baptized this evening. Because it isn't just about having your sins forgiven. It's about continuing to walk with Christ and continuing to walk in fellowship with God. And this is just part of the first stages of doing that. We want to commend Christ to you this evening. And if you've never before considered him and thought about why he died, we'd like you to do that. I've got a couple of little booklets. If you'd like to know a little bit more, please don't be shy. Come and ask me at the end of the service, and I'd be glad to give you one of these little booklets. It's called Jesus, Who? Why? So what? Well, maybe you're thinking, well, that's all very good, but so what? Well, come and find out the answer. And just very simply explain to you who Jesus is, why he came, why he died, why he rose again, and why you need to pause and think about him and consider his claims. And consider that the Bible calls all men and women and young people to repent and trust in Christ. Well, we thank God that our four friends have done just that. And we look forward now to baptizing them.